Good morning, good morning. It's time to start our worship service. We'll sing out of Heavenly Highway Hymns, number 2. Turn to page 199. 199. You. Turn over to 135. 135. We'll sing all three verses.
Won't it be wonderful there? I like to think about it sometimes and just think about how great it's going to be to get to heaven. I do think that most of us look at it in this way. We're not ready to get on the bus right now, though. But it's going to be wonderful when we get there. And I hope and pray that we look at it in that way. It's going to be wonderful just to get to heaven. Now, the main thing, though, is to be ready to go. And that means getting your soul prepared to be there. Now, Brother Ray was telling me about two that got saved at North Gornsville this past weekend. That during their revival, I had heard about their meeting, and I'd heard that they went on into the next Monday service, and I was glad to hear about that. Didn't get to attend, but he was telling me they had two that got saved on, I think it was probably the Monday night or Sunday night one. I'm not sure exactly when it was, but one of the little 8-year-old boys that got saved, he got home that night, and if I understood right, the next morning he had decided maybe he didn't get saved. And so he had told his mother that he was not saved. But he got to school, and at his desk he got to praying, and he got ready to go. Now that's the important part. A lot of times we profess about being saved and not really being saved. We just profess it. But the fact of the matter is, what you really need to do is get ready. And it doesn't matter where you're at. It just matters that you get ready. And I'm thankful this morning to see each and every one of you here today. I hope everybody here today is ready to go and meet the Lord, to know how wonderful it's going to be there in heaven. But the most important thing, if you're not ready, to get ready. That's the most important thing today. And I hope and pray that if you're not ready to meet the Lord today, that before you leave this service today, whether you come up to these altars and start praying and seeking the Lord here, or you make an altar right exactly where you're at, or if it's one of those times when that maybe it's getting a little bit hard on you in here and you start running out of the auditorium and you run into the hallway, maybe you run back to the bathroom, or maybe you go all the way back to as far as you go. Maybe you run outside. I don't know where you go. But the fact of the matter is that there is where you get ready. Now, the reason why I say a lot of people run out into the hallways or into the bathroom, I know people that's gotten, they ran to the bathroom thinking they was going to get away from the Lord and they got saved there. I've known people that run out of the building and they got saved outside of the building. I know of one man, and he's probably in his mid-70s now, that he run out of the church house, and he tried to run home, basically, and he got as far as the middle of the road. I'm talking about the highway. And he fell down in the middle of the highway and started seeking the Lord there. And the men of the church stopped traffic. Can you imagine what they'd do to us out here if we stopped traffic? Hey, I'd try to block them. If you were seeking the Lord out here in the middle of the road, I'd try my best to make sure they went around just so you could pray through. And he did and got saved out there in the middle of the highway, old Highway 80 up there at Pleasant Shade. Different time, I agree, but they had people who was coming up through there and said, I've got to get on up the road. They said, well, you can go back down the road about 2 miles and turn up that way and go around. You're not going to get in the way of this young man finding the Lord, and he did. We are glad to be able to see you be saved. I'd be tickled to death today to hear any of you talk about being born into the family of God today. I just appreciate each and every one of you being here today. We're glad to see all that have come out today. If you're visiting with us today, make yourself right at home with us and worship the Lord with us. And I just hope and pray that you'll be about God's business if you're saved. I hope that you'll do whatever the Lord lays upon your heart today in this service. We had a good service yesterday, and I just pray that we have a greater spiritual service today is what I'm praying for. But let's all be about the Lord's business today in this service. Let's move on with our service today. Let's get on in to our children's church. Brother Sam's out today, so I'm going to be taking care of it today. So kids, let's all come right over here to this side today. We have some of our kids even out today. And I always miss seeing them, but we've got some extras to be with us today. Glad to have all of you with us today. All right. I'm going to do something a little different today. Don't y'all laugh too much now at me. How many of you like to do impressions? Do you like to do animals? Yeah. Does anybody here have a dog? Well, a few of you's got dogs. Who can do a dog? Who can bark like a dog? Can you bark? Just bark. That's right. Now, I need y'all's participation in this, but I'm going to try to help you out, okay? I used to have a little dog when I was about y'all's size, and he barked funny, I thought. He barked like this. Boo-woo-woo-woo. I used to mock him all the time. He'd start barking, I'd bark back at him. Boo-woo-woo-woo. Can y'all do that? Good. Can you do a cat? Meow. Meow. I used to have an old cat, and she meowed kind of funny. She'd go, meow, meow, meow. She was an old mama cat, and she'd call her kittens that way. Right. All right. Who can do a horse? Do it. I never was good at doing horses, though. How about a sheep? Do you know what a sound a sheep makes? Baa. Yes, baa. Now, I want to give you something a little bit different here now. Let's get down to the business. Have you ever heard a sheep when they're kind of in trouble? You know, we talk about sheep a lot of times, and their lambs, then a lot of times they'll get in a place where they need to holler out for their mama or holler for their shepherd is what we talk about a lot of times. And what I learned a long time ago, a baby lamb, he may go baa like that, yes. But when he's in trouble, he's got a different kind of call. And what he does is meh, meh. And what he's doing is hollering for his mama or hollering for somebody to help him is what they do. And if you ever hear that little lamb as he's calling out like that, it's a little different. It's almost like a cry, isn't it? It makes it sound like he's really in trouble. You see, the point of all of this, well, he'll cry out the same way as what he'll do. But what I'm talking about is even when you're in trouble, you have times that you cry out just a little bit different. I can remember one time when I was real little, smaller than y'all even. I remember being in a department store with my mother and daddy, and I had ventured off away from them a little bit, and I took a hold of a coat, a woman's coat. And I thought it was my mother's. It was about identical to my mother's. But I can remember tugging on that coat and looking up, and it wasn't my mother. And when I did, I went, oh, no. In my mind, I went, oh, no. And I said, mama, or mother, or something, whatever I said. But it was a different cry. You see, there's a time coming for y'all that you're going to make a little bit different cry. And it's one of those times when you realize you need the Lord just a little bit more than you do right now. And what I want you to realize, you cry out the best way you can to get God's attention. Whatever way it is. It may be a time that you're so scared or so afraid of what's coming in your life that you may really cry tears. You may weep. Yes, you may get... You pray. And that's the way you cry and you talk to God, is in your prayers. But if there's tears coming down because you're afraid, don't worry about that. You just go ahead and pray, let the tears flow, and you cry out whatever way you can. So it's different to God that you get His attention. You just get His attention is what I want you to do. Now, remember how the baby lamb cried out for his mama? How did he do it? You see, God will know your heart in that time. Just like that mama sheep knew her little lamb's cry. And that's what I want you to know today. You can cry out to God and he'll know your cry. Okay? I'll let you go. I hope you had fun today. All right, who's doing me a lamb? Okay. I'll have them doing that all during my sermon today, I want to. I hope today that we all learn from this. Even when we are sheep, saved, there's times when we need to cry out to God. And it may be a time when we may be in distress. We just put it to God in our own cries is what I want us to do. It's good to see everybody here today. I hope everybody's had a good day or a good week, I should say. I know we've got several kids that are graduating from high school. Congratulations to y'all. You may be graduating from kindergarten. I don't know. There may be some of those too, but we are glad that you're graduating. Some of us old ones may be graduating from whatever. We're just glad that you're here today. Hope everybody's had a good week. We want to go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further in the service. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart? It is so good to see each and every one here today. We had several prayer requests in our Sunday school classes. We hope and pray that all of this will bear upon our hearts. God knows our prayer request, but sometimes it's good for us to bring it out before people that they know your burden, that they can share in your burden. With that being said, I appreciate each and every one being here today. Let's all be about God's business today, and let's ask the Lord to help us in this service. We'll call on one to lead us in prayer, but we want you all to pray. We want you all to ask God to be in this service today. And make sure you pray for me today. We'll call on Brother Steve, if he would, to start our prayer. But everybody pray in your own way.
Let's turn over to 284. 284. Our last song this morning will be 136. You in the choir, won't you stand and help us sing out loud on this great Spear classic.
Thankful to the ones that comes up to the choir to sing. And by the way, folks, if you used to come up here and sing, you still can.
Amen.
We'd love to see you up here. I know Brother Brad would be very glad to have you up here with him to help him out. And we just appreciate each and every one coming and taking part in the service. And that's one thing that I do like in church service, and that's participation. When I'm teaching at Wednesday nights, I like it when people respond. I like it when people talk. Brother Stewart's talked about that in Sunday school, and Brother Sam too, as far as that goes. They like it when people respond, and it lets you know somebody's listening. And I think God's the same way. He likes to hear us respond. He likes to see us get a blessing. Now, don't get me wrong. He likes to see us get a blessing, but he likes to see our response is what he likes us to do and show him how much we love him. That was our message last week, and how much do we love the Lord? And I don't even usually remember what I preached last Sunday, so Lord's got a reason for that. So I hope and pray that we'll show God how much we love him today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? We appreciate each and every one being here this morning, and we ask that you pray for this service and pray that the Lord will bless it in a great way. And let's do remember ours that are unsaved. Let's remember them. They're lost and undone. And if they were out in the woods or out in the wilderness somewhere and they were lost, we'd be doing everything we could, wouldn't we? To find them. If we couldn't go and search ourselves, we'd be praying for them, wouldn't we? But if we could go and search for them, we'd do our very best out in that wilderness that they're in. So let's seek their salvation is what we need to do this morning. If nobody has anything upon your heart this morning, Brother Colton told me he was studying Genesis again. That's where I'm at today. We're going to start with Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And you'll remember this story. I'll just give you a little background. And we used a little bit about Jacob, maybe last week, I think it was. And maybe week before last. But Jacob, of course, he had to leave his family. And he had to go to his mother's, Rebekah's family, and live for a while because he had deceived his father into giving him the blessing. And Esau threatened his life. And so his mother sent him to her brother, Laban, and he abode there and actually married his wives there. And what the scripture says that he lived there for about 21 years, I believe it was, or something like that. And he acquired a great wealth because of God's blessings upon him there in that land. But now God had told him it was time for him to go back home to his father. And basically he's fixing to inherit his destiny, you might say, but his inheritance from his father. Now remember, he's got a brother. Any of y'all got a brother that gets mad at you at some time or another? Maybe it's a sister, older sister a lot of times. I remember my brother barely because he died when I was 9 years old, but I can remember there was times between us. You may remember a time between your brother that maybe you did something and he stayed mad for a long time at you. Remember, Esau had threatened Jacob's life, and now he was going back to Esau again. And Jacob didn't really know what to expect. So he had sent messengers unto Esau, and he told him he was coming home now. Can you imagine doing that? You've got a man that is so angry with you that he's threatened your life. And now it's time to go home. God said go, so you got to go. And when you got there, he didn't know what to expect. So he sent messengers to Esau. And we're going to start with verse 6. And these messengers have returned to Jacob saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee. And 400 men with him." All right, now what kind of a reception do you think Jacob was expecting? He's bringing 400 men to meet us? That doesn't sound very good, does it? And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands and said, "If Esau come upon one company and smite them," or kill them, you might say, "then the other company which is left shall escape." He was thinking ahead, wasn't he? He put one group over here with the camels and everything. That was his wives, too. His wives and children on one side, and another wife and another children. That's another story right there, but we'll get into that later, maybe. But he put all of this over here. Everything he owned was divided out so that he could still have something, is basically what he did. And he said, "If Esau come on," verse 9. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." He's reminding the Lord of his promise that you're going to deal well with me. He reminds the Lord that you're the one sending me back now. Then Jacob says this, "I am not worthy to the least of all of thy mercies," he says, "and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And that's reading, let's get verse 12. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. That's reading for our reading lesson, verses 6 through 12 this morning. We see a man in distress. He knew that he had lied, we'll say. Jacob's name, by the way, it means deceiver. His daddy gave him that name, or his mother gave him that name, I should say, even from the womb, that he was a deceiver, and he was. In his early days, he was very much a deceiver. He had by trickery gotten the birthright of Esau, and by trickery he had gotten the blessing that was intended for his brother Esau. And by trickery, he had actually won his wealth from Laban, his uncle. All of this shows his nature in this thing. But God in all of this also blessed Jacob greatly. But there comes a time when that it is important for us to know that there is a price to be paid for our misbehavings, we'll say. There was things that happened in that journey that caused Jacob distress. But now the ultimate distress. He was meeting his brother who seemingly hated him and seemingly at this moment in time was out for blood once again. And as he was doing all of this, Jacob just realizes what he is. Remember, notice this, what he is. And I want you to understand something today. I believe every one of us fit into this category. Anybody here perfect? Anybody here live above sin? Any of us here that basically obeys God every moment? Now, I done that out of care. No, I don't either. None of us do. But the thing that I want to bring to your attention today is how to get back with God in the right place. This moment in time, Jacob was fearing for all that he had. I believe he was more worried about those women and children than he was anything else. I believe he was more worried about them than he was himself, truthfully. But the fact of the matter was, Jacob was one thing. He was humble. I've often noticed in my lifetime that there are times when I start, and I'm going to use an old term that the older people used when I was a kid. And the term was, I was getting too big for my britches. That's an old term. I don't know what our young people use in this day. But the idea is we kind of get too smart for our own goodness. We think that we're better than what we actually are. And usually when that we start to thinking more highly of ourselves than what we actually are, there becomes a downfall in our life. And when I say a downfall, it may not be nothing drastic, but it shows us just exactly who we are. You know those times when that you may have done something that you thought you got away with, but it comes back to haunt you? Maybe it was something very simple, and maybe you betrayed maybe a friend or something like that, and you thought you got away with it, but it came back to haunt you later on. That happens all the time. But for a person to actually get to a place where that he can be back in the place where God wants him to be, he has to start with humility. I'm talking more on a spiritual sense today than I am anything else. We talked about it in our Sunday school today. We've talked about it at different times with different ones. And the idea that people want to feel the Spirit of God. They want to know why we don't have the Spirit of God in our churches like we should. And I want to say this, and don't take this for an excuse. It's all over the place. Most all the churches today are having problems not feeling the Spirit like they used to, but don't use that as an excuse. Use it as rather like Jacob was using here. It would have been easy for Jacob at this moment in time. Well, Lord, you told me to go back home, but here comes my brother with 400 men. He's out to destroy us all. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to do this instead. I'm going to do that. But no, Jacob didn't do that, did he? Jacob turned around and he started talking to God. And that's what I want us today to start out with. Start talking to God and show ourselves as to who we truly are. This is true for both saved and sinners. We need to realize just exactly who we are. Most of the time today, we live in an age of people thinking, well, I deserve this. I should have that. My granddaughters finished up their soccer season other day in a tournament. They came in, I guess you could say, third place by their record. But the fact of the matter is they all got a trophy for participation. That's all right. That's good. But the fact of the matter, to get the ultimate trophy, you have to do something to earn that trophy. We found out after the game was over that they lost, that most of the kids were happy just winning that first game. They didn't want to win that second one. They didn't want to play that championship game. And you could tell it. That was new to me. I found out later that the kids on the bench was saying, we don't want to win this one. All right, they get the participation trophy and they go on. Now, we're talking about an ultimate prize of having God to be with us. I want you to notice how to get God in the matter. And like I said, it would have been easy for Jacob to have said, I'm going this way, I'm going that way, or whatever it is, and nothing is going to make any difference. But Jacob started talking to God, and where he started with is, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. He said, which thou hast shown. Did you notice that? That's past tense. That's looking back at the past that he had. Yes, God had blessed him in so many ways. He had increased his living. He had increased his children. At this point in time, he's got 12 sons and a daughter, and that is a great blessing for him to have such a family as this. And because of all of this, he knows that he's been blessed to a great degree. But he also knew that when that he went into his father-in-law Laban's home, it was a blessing for him to get to stay in that place, to find his wife. It was a blessing for him to love her to the very greatest ability. It was a blessing that he got to work in all of those times, and then for him to be able to make the deal that he earned the flocks that he did, to earn the camels that he had, the riches that had been blessing him with so much, yet he said, I am not worthy. If we look at ourselves today, and that's one thing that I think is nice for us to do, it's something that I try to do from time to time, is examine myself. It is the common thing for everyone to do. I hear it from people. Did you see what so-and-so did? Did you hear their words? Did you see what they were doing? One of the other things is, did you see what she was wearing? I don't. I don't pay attention to what they have. I try not to listen to the things that people say. But the important thing for us today is to examine ourselves first and foremost, and to understand that we are not worthy of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We are not worthy of those things because we are a sinful people. We are a people that do not trust God to the greatest of our abilities. We do not trust God to help us in that time. It is easy. I talked with Brother Jeff Sanford yesterday at the hospital, and he had been told that he was going on dialysis. And he was down spiritually. He was down mentally with those things. And as I talked with Brother Jeff, I said, well, Brother Jeff, you're going to have to learn to take their business and just diversify. Just let somebody else help you in those things. He says, I've got that in place. And then I said, the biggest thing is just try to let God take care of the matter. Listen to what Jacob said in that day. After he talked about how unworthy he was in that day, and how that he knew that he was fixing to pass over Jordan to meet his brother with his family like that, he said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and will come and, smite me and the mother with the children. He was looking at that, and he said, I know I'm not worthy of thy blessings, but just deliver me. Deliver these things. Lord, take care of the matter. I want us today to consider and look today upon these things that we're talking about and humble ourselves before God. I want us to understand we are truly not worthy of the blessings because of our sins, because of our failures, because of the things that we allow to get in our lives. We fail God so many times, yet He still blesses us, doesn't He? He still blesses us. And will bless us. Now, you might be saying within yourself today, well, I understand we need to be humble. I understand that we need to hold to the truths of God, rely on the mercies of God. But how do we get so humble before God? For a little bit here, I want you to just compare. Now, I had this, somebody put this to me yesterday in a certain way, and I'm not going to use that thought today. But what I'm going to ask you to do today is, I want you to put yourself on one side, and then you put God on the other. Do you get what I'm saying? Here you are, here God is. Compare yourself to God for a moment or two. I want you to look at yourself and just compare. Now, don't take it so quickly like this. Well, God's greater than me. Yeah, I agree. He is. He's a lot bigger than I am. He's a lot greater than I am. But I want you to just compare yourself to God for a minute. You start out with wisdom. You can start out with your speed. You may be able to start out with your endurance. You may be able to, you pick your strongest points that you have, and you compare yourself to God. It's not a good picture, is it? I realize in myself, I never was very fast. When I say speed, we'd have the races at school with the people in my room, and I never was first. Most time I was on the tail end of the matter. When it come to strength, oh, I had my moments at times. Yeah, I could do things just exactly right, and I could show my strength. But was I there all the time? No. If you take it to a spiritual stance and you look at the service that you have towards God and you look at what you've done for God lately and compare that to what God has done for you, and you may be thinking, well, I'm picking on y'all very hard. I don't mean to be picking, but unless I pick it myself, I want you to understand who God is. You know what I've come to realize? When I start comparing myself to God, I can't compare. Brother Brad, help me out just a second. Come here. What do y'all notice when you first look at us two? He's looking down on me. Not friendly, are we? We're friendly on that. But there's a difference. And what I'm wanting you to see is when I look at Brother Brad, I look up to him in this physical manner. And I look up to him in a way that I know I'm not going to reach that. As a matter of fact, I called on him the other night to get something for Sister Sandy because he could reach it and I couldn't. But what I'm trying to say is we should look up to God and see him in that manner, seeing how holy he is, seeing how good he is, seeing what mercy he has bestowed upon us, showing those things that we have and that he has, that is so. I'm not as merciful as he is. I'm not as good at being so faithful to him as he is to me. I'm not as good as doing for him as he is for me. And when I realize that, I realize I'm looking up at a great God. And it starts to show me just how humble I should be. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you today? I'm not worthy of his mercies. I'm not worthy of those things because he is so much greater than I. I want you to see another picture of God here in this moment. This is the words of King David. Just as he was beginning to be the king of Israel in that day. In the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, David spake these words and he said, Lord, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I want you to look at his words there that day. If you've got your Bible, and I know some of these words are different from what we generally use, but the thing that I want you to understand especially here, he is my salvation. He is my strength. He is my rock. He is the one that I cling to. He is the one that I hold to. You gentlemen, most of the time, You should be the rock for your wife. When she's having troubles, she should be the one. You should be the one she is looking to. Oh, by the way, ladies, you do that for him too. You do. You may not think so, but you do. But get this as the picture. When you and your spouse are the rock for each other, the ultimate rock is God. He is the one that holds you in place. Now, let me give you one example of humbleness here today. I may give you two, but I'm going to start out with one. And I'm going to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew today, and I'm going to be going back to that 2 Samuel, so keep your finger in that spot. There was a man, and I want you to notice it says here in this 8th chapter, there was a centurion. Do you know what a centurion was? He was a leader of the Roman army. He was more than likely, he was a Roman. He was more than likely something, I think, just the level below a captain is the way I understand it. He would have probably had at least a few hundred men in under him. But this centurion had had one that he loved. And what he said, he was a servant. And he loved that servant. And they were at the point of death. And what the scripture said was that he came to the Lord for help. You ever come to the Lord for help? I thought so. And he said, Lord, I've got a servant. Say, even at the point of death, Lord, will you just say the words that they might live? And listen to what the Lord said. I'll go and I'll heal them. Now listen to that. Lord done told him, I'm coming. But I want you to listen to what the centurion said. Lord, I'm not worthy for you even to come under my house. You shouldn't even, I'm not worthy for you to come in under my roof. That man was humble, wasn't he? He knew within himself, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come here. Just say the words. What I want you to do today is this. Know who you are. I know in this day and age, we tell our children, oh, you're the best there ever was. We're not supposed to take their self-esteem away. I know we're not supposed to do that. You wonder why some people are not getting saved today? They're too proud of themselves. We've told them they're the best that ever was. And all they're doing is getting a participation trophy. We've told them that they're doing things just right when they're not. And especially as far as their soul is concerned. So it's important for us to see ourselves as we really are. Not as this person. I try to look good for y'all. I do. I want you to see me like this. I don't want you to see the buttons that's missing. I don't want you to see the hairs that's out of place. I don't want you to see beard growing. You ever looked in the mirror and you saw one thing and you walked out of the bathroom and your wife looked at you and you going to go like that? I did Paula that way this morning. I said, do you think this looks all right? She said, no, you need to button your shirt right. I had it cocked. What I'm saying is we need to see ourselves as we are. We're not really worthy of his mercies. None of us are. But he is merciful. He is faithful. He is our rock. when we have nobody else to lean upon. He is our strength. When we're going in to fight the devil, he is the shield that we've put before us. He is the one that is always there. And Santa friend, he'll be there for you. I know you haven't tried it out yet. But the thing that I want you to understand is this. Lord, just say the word. Very simple, isn't it? Now, go back over there and I'll quit with this, Brother Brad. When David was praying that over there a while ago, and he's talking about what God was to him, listen to what he said. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me in my distress. Have you been in distress lately? Spiritually? Physically? Mentally? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. What did I teach them kids today? Cry. I cried unto the Lord, and he did hear my cry and did enter into his ears. He heard us. But where did it start? Him figuring out who God was. Him figuring out that he wasn't worthy. And that unworthiness caused him to humble himself before God, to know that God was his strength. I hope every one of us today has done that at one time or another. If you haven't figured it out yet, if you've never tried the Lord just yet, try him now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Humble yourself before God. God will not turn away an humble heart. If you truly humble yourself before God, there is lifting up, is the way the psalmist, or rather, the old King Solomon said it. There is lifting up of those that humble themselves before God. While we sing today, let us stand. If you're here and you're lost, this altar is a place that you can pray. If you're saved by the grace of God and you've been in distress and you haven't got your heart right with God, it's a good time to come and kneel and pray. This altar is not just for the lost. It's for all of us. If you've been in distress, if you've been in trouble, if you had your pride get in the way, maybe it's a good time to humble yourself before God while we sing.
103, Heavenly Highway Hymns 2.